Well, welcome everybody, and the memory probably directly of Dr. Donabedian grows dim, but he was a sort of a giant in APHA in the medical care section, and this session is sort of in his name and giving an honor in his name, and we're going to talk about that. So this is Avitus Donabedian, and again, we've spent sometimes longer talking about him, but we have so much exciting ground to cover in this session. I call him a Palestinian theorist. He was from Ramallah, ended up at the University of Michigan, and you'll hear about some of the work he's done in a moment. This was the first Donabedian Award session, and it's kind of relevant and fun for a number of reasons. The first is that Donabedian was still alive, and it almost felt like he sort of arose from the grave because he had not done any public speaking or appearances in about 3 years before that. He had two cancers, and he was really quite sick. And really, by the next year, he died before the second session. And in fact, his dying words, he recorded a tape to Don Berwick, who was the second award winner. And someday we'll have to replay those again, but it's really amazing to realize those were his last words he ever spoke. But here he is, not looking actually too bad. And Lucian Leap turns out to be one of the people working with us in this Promises project. And Dr. Leap is here in Boston and is sort of one of the inspirations for this project that we're doing. And again, here we are with Lucian, and actually the short person in the middle is Dr. Rucker, who has also ended up being an award winner, but was actually very close mentee of Dr. Donabedian and colleague. So this is the list of previous awardees, to which we're going to add another very august name, and you'll hear why. But as people could probably see from this list, and many of you who are in the room for many of these years, we really had some very, very special people and heard some very special words of wisdom from each of them. And again, we're going to continue in that tradition. So this year, we're giving the award to Sarah Singer. And Sarah is here, and I'm going to say a few words about her before introducing her in the talk and the project that she's going to introduce to us as well, in terms of the work that she's done helping to begin to evaluate this. So Sarah's sort of academic credentials are really quite stellar. She's associate professor of healthcare management and policy at the Harvard School of Public Health. I think her office is like two doors from Dr. Leap's, from Lucian's office. And she also works at Mass General in this Mangan Institute of Health Policy. Her specialty is really developing survey instruments to measure provider-patient perspectives on really what's going on in healthcare, interpersonal, organizational factors, enabling benchmarking, rapid feedback, so people can really understand what they're doing and what they're learning in projects like ours, and you'll see exactly how she's working her magic in this project. Organizational leadership and culture, efforts to implement healthcare delivery innovations, integrate patient care, improve performances of healthcare organizations overall. And she's won multiple best paper awards, I think, from Health Services Research, a variety of other things. And probably I should have said this at first in the name of full disclosure, I'm part of this Promises project, and so you could say there's a little bit of a conflict of interest here. But I don't think so, because you're going to, again, hear what special work Sarah's done. But I want to just start, and this is kind of fun, with a little bit of kind of a counter point here. And so Sarah actually did some of her initial work in writing and publication with Alan Einthoven. And I don't know how many people know him, but for us in the single-payer movement, he was sort of Darth Vader. And so anybody who had anything to do with him was obviously also bad and the enemy. And it turns out, is it your uncle or your cousin's uncle is Quentin Young, who many of you know. So she's actually a relative of Quentin, and he keeps talking about this wayward niece of his who went to the dark side, and it's just so tragic. How could it happen to such? She's such a good person. And again, here's another article, Einthoven, Market Forces, How Can We Unleash Them in Terms of Making the Healthcare System Work Better? And again, here's another one that Sarah wrote with Alan Einthoven. And we're not even going to allow her equal time for rebuttal here. But this is really just to say how really 180 degrees, I've really come to appreciate what is really special and really special Sarah has to contribute, and she really, to pigeonhole her with these articles and these cheap shots, really, you'll see why we, and again, this is a direct critique. This is a sort of very controversial article that was in the American Journal of Public Health, written by Howard Waitzkin, who is here at APHA this year. And this is a picture of Eindhoven showing, you know, this is on the vertical axis as targets destroyed and the horizontal axis as dollars. And he sort of used these same metrics, you know, and we just thought, and this was during, the Vietnam War, these military methods applying to healthcare. So we were quite worried about that. That wasn't what Sarah was doing. But this whole idea about markets and managed competition, we were quite worried about, and so pause for a second here, and let me just orient you now to this Promises project. And ARC put out these proposals for reducing preventable harm, informing injured patients, and promoting early disclosure related to malpractice. This is actually a compromise to getting the Republicans and Democrats together on things that they could really agree on, and. Did I skip a slide here? They funded several centers. I think I'm missing a slide, sorry. The only one dealing with ambulatory was ours. So there were these seven demonstration projects, and all the rest were dealing with obstetric. You know, there's a lot of lawsuits around babies that things go wrong, how to apologize and disclosure. But in our case, we said, let's get all these players together on a statewide level, including the Public Health Department and this Massachusetts Coalition for Errors and the malpractice insurers who are here in the upper right, CRICO, and work with the Department of Health, who is sort of the lead agency, you'll hear more about that, with evaluators and improvers. And so you can see Sarah's here on the right side, the box second from the bottom, as part of the evaluation team there. What we were looking at is we decided that there's several areas of weaknesses, of vulnerability. So when people say we have to reduce malpractice, a lot of doctors mean we got to get rid of lawyers and patients suing. But what we felt it meant is we got to get rid of the malpractice problems or minimize them from occurring in the first place. And as we looked at these three areas, test result management, referral management, and medication management, you'll hear some examples of where and why and how balls are dropped there and how we try to minimize those risks, decrease it. And then we see these overarching communication issues. So this is 3+1. And by communication, and again, I would say we just began to develop this, but there's so much rich need for understanding how things could be better. I don't think anybody who's been a patient in a doctor's office could immediately relate to just the relationship between doctors and patients during the encounter, making sure there's better communication. But we're looking more broadly at the team member communication, just communication in the narrow sense to make sure your test results are communicated when something is abnormal on your test results. And then the last two really have to do with when things go wrong, how can we learn from them and create a culture of safety where instead of people blaming or pointing fingers or suing, people are actually using that to prevent cases in the future and healing the harm that was done. And again, this is a high-level chart, which I urge anybody who wants to get these slides, that really goes in depth how we've conceptualized this project, spent a lot of time working with people from IHI and people in the room here to say how are we going to really create that we call this a driver diagram where we really convert some of these concerns into really high-level improvement project. But when we did this, we were clear we needed to measure what we did. We needed some yardstick to see whether we were just kind of spinning our wheels or blowing smoke or whether really getting some traction in terms of improving it. And we turned to Sarah, and I'm going to turn to Sarah right now. And Sarah really, since she's been in Boston, of course, has been doing all sorts of good things that and before. But, for example, this article where she really sort of looks to try to measure what's going on in primary care, measuring ways that practices and teams are getting integrated and really meeting patients' needs. And so I'm going to turn this over to her, but first I want to present her with the actual award. And one of the reasons for showing that Donna Bedian picture in the beginning, and it sort of brings tears to my eyes each year of giving this award, but this year it's even more so. This is the last of the books. So these are books of Donna Beedien's three books, that three-volume book, and I don't think Sarah knows she's getting this. And in fact, maybe I should just keep it, because I've had these in my closet, you know, starting with 15 sets, now down to this is the very last one. And it's personally inscribed by Donna Beedien, who died 15 years ago. With joy and pride, I salute you. This is volume two. These two were even out of print, and Health Administration Press reprinted them. Gave us this newest version, reprinted them. From where I may be, I salute you. Dedication to advancing quality in healthcare. Again, hand signed by Dr. Donna Beedien. Last set of these. And with my compliments and best wishes, Avitas Donna Beedien. So, we'll take a picture, David. That's special.